This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We are going to discuss, something Trump did that I really, really like. If he did what I think he did. So we'll discuss that in a moment. Yes, I'll finally address this stupid reparations thing, which is hilarious to me. All kinds of Ask Dr. Jesse questions on everything from gas station food to Putin, Ukraine, to some people are having problems with after they had a baby. All that and more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, remember one of the stories from the week, one of the big stories from the week, it was kind of a mini controversy that everyone's really moved on from for the most part now, was the Afrikaners. Remember, the people from South Africa, the white South Africans, they're now a minority, a big-time minority in that country. They've been there for 400 years, keep in mind, but they're a minority in that country, and South Africa has been completely taken over by communists, really open communists, and communists simply believe in murder. They don't have any problems with that at all. And they are all about revenge for whatever happened in the past. Ah, your grandpa's grandpa did this. We should probably cut your head off and steal your land. And they've been doing it to people in South Africa. Well, Trump, in a move that raised some eyebrows, grabbed 50, 60 of them. I keep getting different number, by the way. I keep hearing 49. I keep hearing 50. I keep hearing 60. We'll just call it 50 for simplicity's sake. Trump gets 50 of them, the people who are at risk, families, husbands, wives, kids, and he brings them over here as refugees. Brings them over here as refugees. Now, why? Now, let's pause for a moment. Maybe your answer for that is, well, they're under threat. And that's a very, very fair answer. And it may be a true answer. I'm not here to tell you you're wrong. Maybe it is just out of genuine concern for what those people have gone through. Or maybe Trump really did pull off a genius political move. And Trump can do this. No, I'm not one of these idiots. Everything Trump does is perfect. It's not that, but he really is politically savvy, unbelievably politically savvy. And he knows how to walk the left into traps. He does it all the time. It wasn't a massive influx of people. It was 50 people, 60 people. But you see, the response to it was so unbelievably revealing.
So the Trump administration, they're saying that essentially these white South Africans assimilate better and they're also not as much of a security risk. That's really causing a lot of people to be appalled, frankly. And I also should tell people that this violence that they're talking about that are dealing with these Afrikaners, I've been hearing from people that say there is violence in South Africa, but it's affecting everybody of every single race, Katie.
Immediately upon the arrival of 50 white people from another country, the American left lost its mind. But they didn't lose their minds quietly. They marched onto the television like an army to talk about how these white people were evil, how we shouldn't even take in white people, how they should stay where they are, how they should just suffer from all the oppression. I mean, this was the head of the Episcopal Church, or a bishop, I'm sorry, with the Episcopal Church.
We can't be ourselves in the Episcopal Church and take the step of resettling white Afrikaners from South Africa. Our church has a long commitment to racial justice and reconciliation, and we have historic ties with the Anglican Church of...
What if Trump brought in 50 people from South Africa, simply to expose how deep the white hatred of the left really is. Because it sure came bubbling out of them. It came bubbling out of them loud and proud. And if you remember, because we're not talking about you. Politics isn't really about you or me. Yes, we are the tip of the spear foot soldiers who make the whole thing go, but you win presidential elections and congressional elections, senatorial elections. You win these elections off the people who are half involved, who half pay attention. What if you're somebody, yeah, you vote Republican sometimes, Democrat sometimes, but what if you're somebody who has kind of gotten the impression that maybe Democrats don't like white people? You turned on the television one day and you heard Jasmine Crockett calling white people colonizers and stuff like that. And maybe you kind of dismissed it, or maybe it perked your ears up a little and then you just kind of moved on, didn't think about it. But then Trump brings in 50 Afrikaners from South Africa and you are treated to a 24, 48-hour news cycle of every filthy communist on the planet running to the television, essentially screaming, "We can't have white people here. Send them back to be slaughtered. That's what they deserve anyway." You think maybe that wouldn't make you sit up in your chair a little bit if you're a norm, if you're a norma, and say, "Hold on a minute. I feel like these people mean it." It would. Jesse, I heard you comment on gas station and truck stop gourmet road trip food, but what about the motel continental breakfast? My wife insists we stay at places that included breakfast. She's a continental breakfast whisperer. Okay. It says his name is Lance. Hotel continental breakfast is the same everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. Best Western, Courtyard by Marriott, Super 8. It's the same everywhere. I was just at a Comfort Inn in Ohio when I went back from my aunt's funeral. I was at a Comfort Inn, exact same thing there. Everyone knows what you're going to get at a continental breakfast. You're going to have bagels that are stale. You're going to have bread that's fairly stale. You're going to have a few different cereal options, Frosted Flakes, Fruit Loops. You know what I'm talking about. There's going to be usually a waffle machine. That's the norm. If you don't have one of those, man, you are really at a low-end one. And they have some pancakes, which are clearly frozen pancakes that got thrown in the microwave in the kitchen. If there are eggs, well, you'll have the powdered eggs that are scrambled. Everyone knows that. And then you usually have the sausage patty, also frozen, also thrown in the nuker. Your only chance at real eggs is getting the hard-boiled eggs they will occasionally set out. And boy, are you taking your life in your hands dipping into those bad boys. Continental breakfast is very tough. It's very tough for me because I am a real eggs man for breakfast. I really don't do waffles. I mean, I like waffles. I like butter and syrup. It's fine. Not interested in it mostly for breakfast. I don't like sweet breakfast pancakes. I want bacon and eggs, or sausage and eggs, and real eggs. Real eggs. I have eggs almost every single morning. What, Chris? Chris said, "Do I think McDonald's uses real eggs?" Well, in their breakfast burritos, no. But they actually do use a real egg in their McMuffins. A sausage McMuffin with egg, underrated. A real egg. And now I understand all the chemicals and stuff. Please don't email me with your health freak stuff. I get it. But I'm a real egg guy. This creates a problem when it comes to continental breakfast. However, it's free, and oftentimes you're in a hurry. So here's what I do for continental breakfast, and it's going to sound juvenile and gross, and I guess in a way it is juvenile and gross, but I do have a move that I use every single time. Head to the waffle machine. Make a waffle. If they're pancakes, you're just going to have to use those. Waffle machine. Then you have to go to the powdered eggs. You scoop some powdered eggs on there. Now, these are going to be watery, rancid filth. Just get ready. Put those in the middle of your waffle. Right in the middle of your waffle. Then you need to make your way over to the syrup. I know it's a little bit gross, but remember, this is a continental breakfast. This is usually just down it and get on the road. Down it and get on the road. Douse it in syrup. I'm talking about just the eggs, just the middle. Douse it in syrup. Take your waffle, fold it up like a waffle taco, and house that bad boy down. If you're stuck eating continental breakfast, just get the calories in you and get on the road. I prefer Waffle House or Bob Evans if I'm back east or something like that. But sometimes, you never had a Bob Evans, Chris? Never heard of Bob Evans? Bob Evans, in Ohio, Bob Evans is life. There are Bob Evans everywhere. It's a breakfast joint. Probably higher end than Waffle House, although I would rather eat at a Waffle House, but very good breakfast joint. It's a back east breakfast joint. Everybody listening in Ohio right now is not in their head, and they're mortified at your stupidity that you've never had Bob Evans. Get yourself Bob Evans. My grandpa Hank, God rest his soul, I love him. He lived and died for Bob Evans. We always had to go to Bob Evans. Gosh, I loved Grandpa Hank. Anyway, I also love Hillsdale College. Not as much as I love Grandpa Hank, but I love them a lot. I like people who give me things for free that are quality, unlike continental breakfast. You see, Hillsdale College gives you real breakfast in the form of a real education for free. Hillsdale College is offering more than 40 free online courses. They have one out now. One of their newest ones is called Understanding Capitalism. How do private property rights tie in any of this? Why is capitalism... Why does it work? Why does it encourage morality rather than undermine it? Would you like to know that? Or any of the other free online courses? No cost. It's the weekend. Why don't you do something productive when you're on the road or sitting around on the couch? Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. All right. Ukraine, Putin, Democrats. Next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, taking you on a free ride through political talk and entertainment on a Friday. Hope you're gearing up for a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, you think Democrats' support for Ukraine would fizzle if Trump/Vance started taking on Putin? The nexus of this question is the article today that Vance has put Putin on notice. His name is Jack. Listen, remember that a lot of things are about money and power to the people who are in charge. They're about money and power. It's not all about communism or taxes. It's about money and it's about power. Remember why Washington, D.C., Republican and Democrat, why they love Ukraine and they love that war so much. It's not out of a heart for the Ukrainians who've been just crushed. It's not that at all. It's not that they care about Ukraine or they care about the country. That area, that whole Crimean Peninsula area, is filthy rich with resources. It's also Russian speaking. Putin thinks it belongs to him. Ukraine thinks it belongs to them. I'm not getting into that again. But what the West, both Europe and us, what we do not want is Putin to take control of resources when we have already sunk an inhuman amount of money into that area to allow us to gain access to those resources. An easier way to understand Russia-Ukraine is, let's say your friend. You've got a buddy. And your buddy, he has something. It's property right on a lake. He's got property right on a lake. And you and all your friends, you went out to the store, you went out to the sporting goods store, and you bought coolers, and you bought lawn chairs, and you bought stuff for beach volleyball, and you got yourself a couple cases of beer and some burgers to grill out, and you have spent a fortune ready to go enjoy your buddy's property on a lake. You show up, and you find out the neighbor has moved into your buddy's property. They've crowded out the lake. And now, with all this stuff, you spent $200 on stuff. All this stuff is sitting in the back of your pickup going bad because you can't enjoy your buddy's property on the lake. Now, it's not just that you want the neighbor off your buddy's property for your buddy's sake. You want the neighbor off your buddy's property because you spent a bunch of money and you're invested in that property being available for you to enjoy. The West, NATO, the UK, America has spent an inhuman amount of money in Ukraine already to get our hands on those resources, the resources of Ukraine. We even remember we engineered a coup in Ukraine. We did. Not a better way to put it. We engineered a coup in Ukraine to oust their current guy because we wanted to install a more pro-Western government. Why did we do that? To spread democracy? Of course not. We did that so a more pro-Western government would be more inclined to give us access to those resources. It's about money. And I realize there are other things at play here, biolabs and stuff like that. But it's about money in the end. Back to your question. Would Democrats' support for Ukraine fizzle with Trump Vance started taking on Putin? No. They would find a way to criticize Trump about the entire thing. They would find a way to blame it all on Trump. But there is a ton of money at stake. A ton of money at stake. GOP donors at stake. Democrat donors at stake, meaning huge mega donors who fund super PACs for Democrats and Republicans. They need to not have Vladimir Putin take control of that area because they have investments and they want to see those investments realized. And we're not talking about millions and we're not talking about billions. We are talking about trillions with a T. Trillions of dollars in resources are at stake. The powerful people who want this thing to continue without end, they are willing to risk World War III for it to go. They are people who went to that sporting goods store and they bought the cooler and they bought the beer and they bought the burgers and they're watching that entire investment be wasted because the neighbor moved in. And something has to be done to get that neighbor out because they want a weekend by the lake. There is nothing Trump or Vance or anybody can do to get any part of the system, any part of the elites to reverse their stance on Ukraine. Remember when Mitch McConnell stood up? Mitch McConnell stood up at a time when inflation was raging, and everyone was freaking out about it. Nobody could afford anything at all, and gave a speech that was so bizarre, it was heard across the political world on the left and right. Everybody sat up in their chair and kind of marveled at the whole thing that the GOP, the most powerful Republican in D.C. at the time, because Trump wasn't there, stood up in front of everyone and said this.
Well, I'm going to try to help explain to the American people that defeating the Russians in Ukraine is the single most important event going on in the world right now.
Now, you could be the biggest Russia hater in the world and biggest Ukrainian lover. You could be Ukrainian. You could sleep in Ukrainian pajamas. That's an outrageous thing to say for somebody who's the most powerful Republican in D.C. Why? Money. Comes down to money. Speaking of money, is there a better investment than a life for $28? $28. Buys a life, saves a life is what it does. When young women decide to have abortions, sadly, it's easy in this country. It's just easy. You look it up, and now you get a telehealth meeting, they'll mail a pill to your house. It's just awful. How do you fight back against evil that accessible? How do you fight back? With preborn. That's how. That young lady, she doesn't need shouted at. She doesn't even need arrested. She just needs an ultrasound. If she hears that heartbeat, she will choose life. For $28, preborn will give her an ultrasound. That's what it costs them, $28. Go look up preborn's charity rating. They're not in this to swindle your money. The money saves the babies. 200 a day live because of you and preborn. You can give them whatever you want. It's all tax deductible. $28 million if you got it. Preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. Speaking of kids, someone's having problems. Next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Dear Dr. Jesse, the subject of this one is broken marriage. 7 months ago, my wife blessed me with a sweet baby girl, but ever since, we have grown distant. There is just so much that builds up, and now we fight about everything. All right, let me talk to you for a second. Lots of things about life. Well, you know what we were talking about the bill earlier, the big spending bill? Trust me, this will come back to kids in a minute. And what was I complaining about when it comes to the bill? All these reps, they're trying to justify their vote for another monstrous spending bill. But do they run to the camera and they talk about all the waste and corruption that's still in it? No, they run to the camera and they stuff like
this. Importantly, this package also invests in what truly matters. It gives our troops a raise, it strengthens our national defense, and it secures our border.
They're giving you the good stuff and leaving out the bad stuff. Let me tell you about having kids, especially young babies. People tend to, it's a human nature thing, when they look back on things, when you're looking back, when you have a memory about something, we all do this, you tend to remember the best parts of it and kind of forget the worst dark parts of it. So when you have kids, they grow up, and then when you talk to others about having kids, you talk about how wonderful everything is. It was just wonderful. Have a million kids. Have a million babies. And look, I'm in the middle of raising kids. It is wonderful. It is. I do love it. But when that baby is first born, that is an extremely stressful time that strains marriages. It strains marriages. Chris is over there nodding his head. I've been there. We had two. You're not sleeping. She's not sleeping. She's adjusting to all kinds of things. She has all kinds of hormonal things going on. Not her fault. She's adjusting to this. Remember women will always take a priority in their appearance because they believe that matters to men, and of course it does. Well, she just had to go through pregnancy, and now her body, it went through some things, and it doesn't look like it did before, and now she's mortified by that, and so she doesn't want, now she's tired, she's hormonal, she's not happy with how she looks, and you, of course, want to grab your wife because you're a human being and a man, and that's what a man wants, but she doesn't want to be touched, and so now you feel neglected, she doesn't want you to touch her, you feel neglected because, the baby gets a lot of the attention. Frankly, a lot of us, myself included, can get jealous at some point in time. You are with that freaking baby all the time. What about coming over here? What about rubbing my arm? What about, it's human nature. I am not telling you it's not stressful or straining. It stresses marriages and strains marriages. I am only going to tell you this. It doesn't last, buddy. It'll get better. For men, babies suck. It's not that I didn't love my kids when they were babies. I held them and played with them and rolled them around and threw them on the couch as they squealed with glee. And I did all that stuff. But kids for dudes only get cooler as they get older. Eventually, I'm taking my boys fishing in Alaska. And I got to do that with my boys. What do you get to do with the kid when it's a little blob? That's her time. That's a mom's specialty time when she gets to care and nurture, and there is an extra human being added to the family that adds stress and strain and all that stuff. You say broken marriage, it's not broken. You have a new baby. You have a 7-month-old baby. Just give it a little time and you'll be fine. And let me say this too. It gets easier the more kids you have. The second one, because you know how to be more graceful with each other. You know what to expect. You know about the tiredness. You know how to prepare for this. You know, but I mean, I remember I told you my oldest son, James. I probably shouldn't have said his name, whatever. But, well, you know his name, but he used to have, he doesn't have this anymore, but he used to have this thing. He did not like dirt in between his fingers or hands. It was just something that really, really bothered him, a sensory thing, whatever it was. It's gone now. But we could never figure out why he wouldn't go number two in his diaper. He would not. And when I say would not, you could leave that sucker on him for 10 hours. He's not going. 12 hours. Okay, well, you've got to change it at some point. He's wet. So he would do the same thing every time. It wasn't once. Every time. He would wait until you took the old diaper off. And then, well, he's on a liquid diet, you know. You understand what's coming out. He shot it clear across the room one time. We used to have to drape ourselves in towels, but even then there's nothing you could do. Think about that. You're tired, you're exhausted, it's your turn to change him. And yes, I change diapers in case you're wondering. And you have to be covered in poop every time. It's a tough time. It's not all sunshine and roses and cooing and adorable stuff. It's a tough time. It's a tough time. It's stressful. You're fine. You're going to be fine. Hey, Jesse, I'm sitting here reading about the upcoming election where Cornyn is losing in the polls to Paxton. I see this as a win for Texas. Do you think he will decide not to run for health reasons? All right, to answer your question right off the bat, I believe if John Cornyn, what is it, June? 5-6 months from now, if the polls still tell John Cornyn that he's getting stomped, and that's kind of what it looks like right now, I think you're right. I think he bows out. He says, I'm sorry, I developed a cough. Or they'll give the old, I want to be with my family bit, which is always hilarious because they don't want to be with their families and their families don't want to be with them. But maybe he'll do that. You know, yes, I believe that's what he'll do. However, let me caution you with this as somebody who has seen this once or twice before. Right now, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is winning in the polls against John Cornyn and winning by double digits. I just saw another one showing him winning by double digits. Good for you, Texas. However, John Cornyn, he knows how to win statewide elections in Texas. He knows where the high propensity primary voters are. Because he is a swamp creature who funds government corruption, his campaign will have all the money in the world to campaign with millions and millions of dollars and go after those primary voters. And you can say right now, it won't work. It's not going to work. I swear it's not going to work. No, it won't work on you. They know not only how to make John Cornyn look like, so I'm Donald Trump's conservative warrior. I can already see the ads out there. It's not just that they know how to make him do that. They know how to muddy up Ken Paxton. It's not that they have to make John Cornyn pretty and perfect. Maybe they even get to the place where they think they can't. What if they smear Ken Paxton to the point where you're a Republican primary voter, maybe even one who doesn't care for Cornyn that much? But maybe you think this Ken Paxton guy's the Antichrist, and, well, we might as well go with John Cornyn. Hey, listen, I can't tell you how dumb the things I've heard at political events are from voters. Never underestimate how stupid some voters are. What, Chris? That's right. I wasn't even thinking about that one, but that's a good point, Chris. I had a lady tell me one time, she voted against me. She's a Republican. She voted against me, not in the primary. She voted for the Democrat because I reminded her of her ex-husband. I had never met this lady, never talked to this lady. She agreed with me on every issue. She went out and voted against me because something about me reminded her of her ex, who she hated. Voters can be unbelievably stupid, especially the uninformed ones. You know what I mean? Everyone's not like you. Everyone doesn't pay attention like you do. All right, let's move on. I want to talk about these ICE deportations in Denver before we get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review talking about how huge my hands are. I want to remind you of this, that voting for Democrats in the year 2025 is an act of evil. Not saying you have to vote for Republicans, but voting for Democrats is an act of evil. If for no other reason than how they handle the border, what they believe about immigration. Modern Democrats believe the border should be open, your country is evil, and every barbarian across the planet should be allowed to flood into it. And the people who come into it come from places you can't even possibly imagine, from violence you can't imagine. And they're more comfortable with violence than you can possibly imagine. I saw some January 6th guy was talking about how he had to share, a cell block it was, with a couple MS-13 guys. And the MS-13 guys used to just walk around joking about how they had cut some girl's head off and used her head as a soccer ball. Violence like you can't imagine. Because you come from a civilized world, a civilized country, it's hard for civilized people to really, truly understand how barbarians think and how they act. And the amount of violent crime in this country that comes from illegals would stagger you. So let me explain it in this way. Think for a moment about all the violent crime that just whatever flashes into your head that you can think of that was done by an illegal. Maybe you're thinking about Laken Riley or Jocelyn Nungary, or maybe you're thinking about yet another one of these guys who gets a DUI killing a whole family, or whatever it is, the robberies, the homicides, the rapes, that you have a million stories that have probably flashed through your head, even if you can't remember the names. Now, consider this. You are aware of all these stories. And you are aware of all these stories in spite of the fact the entire American media and America's federal law enforcement and most of America's major city law enforcement, they have all conspired with each other to cover up and conceal the crimes of illegals. You know about endless illegal crime, and you know it with the fact, you know it, even though NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, every single one of them, they're all dedicated to covering up those crimes. You know about all the illegal immigration crime, and you know the FBI is trying to cover for the illegals. The NYPD covers for the illegals. The LAPD covers for the illegals. Chicago, Denver, covers. You know about illegal immigration crime, and there is a gigantic conspiracy cabal trying to keep you from ever finding out about a single crime. Most areas won't even allow the release of the immigration information specifically so you can't find out about the crimes by illegals. But I'm here to tell you, they commit an unbelievable percentage of America's crime. How high is the percentage? Well, I don't know because of the cover-up. But I know, here's a nice little data point. This is from Fox 31 in Denver. ICE deportations are linked to a massive 60% drop in Denver's homicides. 60, not 16. Ever since ICE started swooping up all these gangbangers and illegals, homicides have dropped by 60%. Are you in San Francisco? How many times have you had your car broken into? You know that probably goes away if you get rid of the illegals. Are you in New York City listening on the great 710 WOR? How much crime have you seen? Where can't you go at night? that disappears if the illegals go away. L.A., San Diego, how many listening in San Diego right now? What has happened to one of the great American cities, San Diego, as you've watched it fall into this terrible state of disrepair, which is just criminal because there's nothing like San Diego? It comes right back when you get rid of the illegals. You know about large quantities of illegal immigrant crime, and you know that in spite of the fact the entire American left has conspired to cover it up. And look, we're not even talking about costs. It's another thing they've conspired to cover up. Do you know how much more you pay for health care because of illegals? Because illegals use the emergency room like the family doctor? They walk in, no habla inglés. They get treated for the common cold. They're not arrested. They're not deported. They get treated. They get released. And they don't pay. You pay. You have to pay for that. Do you know how much better our education system would be if class sizes didn't have to be doubled with bilingual wings in the school? Everything gets better when you get the foreigners, the invaders, out of your country. Out of your country. Come here legally. And people say, well, it's tough to get here legally. It should be tough to get here legally. It shouldn't be easy to become a citizen of the greatest country on the planet. Well, I had to wait 10 years. Good. I'm glad you did it. Welcome. You're now mine. I'm yours. We are fellow countrymen. Good. I'm glad you waited, though, and I'm glad it was difficult. It should be friggin' difficult. Things that are good are difficult. Things that are easy suck. That's a fact. Shouldn't be easy. Anyway. All right. Now we have to talk about Tom Tillis. Someone wants to talk about Trump and Tom Tillis and chess versus checkers. Someone wants to talk about history. Someone wants to talk about eating the flat wings. Ooh, all that and more coming up.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.